This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
علينا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So alhamdulillah, we say bismillah, we're going to start series بإذن الله, may Allah make it a put barakah in it, about the stories of the prophets صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين رسل الله وأنبياء الله عز وجل. And before I start directly, you know, into the story of Adam عليه السلام, I first wanted, and this is what I always like to do, sort of lay out some principles or ideas that will help us inshallah throughout. And I want you inshallah to keep them in mind, because they'll be helpful not only now, but help be helpful inshallah now and later for the series and for what comes after inshallah. And what I want to answer inshallah through these principles mainly is why we're doing this and how we're going to be doing it. So why are we doing stories of the prophets, and then how will we be doing the stories of the prophets? So first of all, why are we doing the stories of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal? First of all, stories in general are interesting. I can, you know, sit here and tell you stories and you'll never be bored, because we like stories. And you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jal, right, knows that. And His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows this very well. That's why you find stories in the Qur'an. The whole Qur'an is not stories, but you'll find stories in it. So what's the benefit of actually, you know, why are they attractive? Why do we like them so much? One thing, you know, that stories do is that they translate theory into practice. So if I tell you, for instance, you know, be patient, patience is good, etc., etc. Okay, you have an idea that you should be patient. But you may ask me, how should I be patient? How? Demonstrate. Either if I show you, you'll know, or if I tell you a story, the story will tell you specifically how you can take that theory of patience into practice. For instance, if somebody says something bad to me, then I'll be patient. So it's a demonstration. So you can model yourself after that story. You'll always remember, okay, he did this, she did that, I'm going to do the same thing. So it's a modeled behavior. And because it's a modeled behavior, it's easy or easier to follow rather than just directions. And you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, for instance, He tells His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient like those prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the messengers of Allah who were strong, أُولُو الْعَزْمِ, who were very strong. Be patient like they were patient. How could the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or anyone, be patient like they were patient if he does not know their story? So it's a model, not only for us, but even for Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. When Allah tells him the stories in the Quran, they're not just for entertainment. It's for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow. Know their example in detail and to follow them. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُمُ اُقْتَدِهِ. These are the ones whom Allah had guided, so follow their guidance. So again, he is telling his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see what they've done, follow their guidance. And also what it does is that it comforts the heart and stabilizes it. So if you are on a path of da'wah or asking people to become Muslims, or you are speaking the truth and you're opposed and you're hurt and harmed and you feel down, troubled by it, and you go and you read the Quran and you find that Nuh alayhi salam was harassed and harmed, Ibrahim alayhi salam was harmed and his life was targeted, etc., etc. Each prophet of the prophets of Allah was met with hostility and opposition. And that this is a pattern. That anyone who wants to bring reform will be met with this opposition and resistance. Then you'll know that I'm not alone. I am not alone. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Each of the stories Allah is telling His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each of the stories that we are telling you about the prophets, what are we doing with it? نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We are stabilizing your heart with it. Because he knows, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, you know, as an example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once heard from someone, "You are unjust. You're dividing money, and you have committed injustice. You're playing favorites, you know." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what, which is significant to our point here. يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. May Allah's mercy be upon Musa. لَقَدْ أُوذِيَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا فَصَبَرْ. He was harmed with more than this, and he continued to be patient. So what did he remember? Musa. Right? He remembered Musa, his brother. So this is happening to me. Am I going to be sad? Am I going to quit? No. What does he remember? Oh, it happened to other people as well. It happened to Musa alayhi salam. And in comparison, this to that, that was more. And he continued to be patient. And if he can be patient, and he was patient, I will be patient as well. So stories do that. So that's one thing. And that's what I want, inshallah, from these stories as well, is that they're not only entertainment, or they're going to entertain us, and they're going to inform us, but at the same time, we have to take that, and we have to consider them as models. We have to reproduce some of what we are hearing and reading. And of course, they are the best of humanity. You know, the prophets of Allah, they are the best of humanity. So their life is the best of lives, and their stories are the best of stories. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We are telling you the best of stories. And that, by the way, subhanAllah, is incredible. I mean, if you think about it, Allah is telling you, we are telling you, to all of us, and to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're telling you the best of stories. And when you're going to open the Quran and read, you're reading the best of stories. So imagine here with me, if you were to select a committee of, you know, this sociologist, anthropologist, psychologist, and you'll tell them, go and study entire human history and bring out from it the best of what happened in it, the best of stories. They'll select, but each person will select differently and will have their own bias and shortcomings in that selection, right? Who's selecting here? Allah Azza wa Jal. He's telling, Allah knows everything that has happened. Nothing is hidden from Him. And knows what is important and what is not. Because if we ask you today, select the best of stories of what is happening today, humanity, you tell me that star and this actress and that singer and this famous person. But if you see the Quran, the best of stories are not stories about kings. There are some kings, but they're not stories about kings. That's not constitute necessarily the best of story. And they're not stories about conquerors. Like if you go back to history, tell me the best of stories. Oh, okay, I don't know, Genghis Khan. Best story. Okay, incredible story. Another person, you know, very rich. It's not that. These are not the best of stories. Not for Allah Azza wa Jal. But what are the best of stories? One of them is Zakariya alayhi salam, being alone at night, making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal to grant him Yahya. It is Sulaiman alayhi salam listening to what an ant is saying. Who knows what an ant is saying? Why is that significant? Just think to yourself. An ant? Or having an exchange with a bird? What is that? Right? He's not another king, just an animal. An animal, huh? But Allah Azza wa Jal, when He looks at it, that's the best of story. Or the mother of Maryam making a promise to Allah. Who is Maryam? And who is, you know, the mother of Maryam? Right? Who are they? But she makes a promise to Allah Azza wa Jal that she will give her daughter or her child in service to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a story that Allah Azza wa Jal records in the Quran. So to Allah Azza wa Jal, what is important, what floats to the top, is not necessarily what we see. And that should tell you also that what we consider as humans the best is not always the best. Allah Azza wa Jal has different criterion than us. So the best of stories are stories that Allah Azza wa Jal sees are coming from the best of people, and they teach the best of things. And so when we want to focus, inshallah, in our lives on what stories we should read, what stories we should learn from, pick the best of stories. that come from the best of people. They're wholesome, they're right. They push you to the top, not to the bottom. They make you better, not worse. Huh? And it's from the best of people, not the worst. So people who are famous, most of the people who are famous today, are the best or the worst? The worst. And so their stories are the worst of stories. And subhanAllah, after you listen to it, after you read it, you feel terrible. It doesn't add anything. But when you read what Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to read, or you hear the stories of the prophets or the stories of the sunnah, it's something different. Third, I said it's wholesome. And meaning wholesome, meaning it has a lot in it. The fact that we're telling stories doesn't mean that we're just telling stories. There is manners and character in them. There is aqidah in them. There is fiqh and law in them. There's a lot in it. So don't think that we are telling this that we're not doing aqidah. We're doing aqidah. You just don't know it. It's embedded. But there's aqidah in it. When we're talking about tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal, isn't that aqidah? And trusting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him alone and the consequence of disbelief, all that is not aqidah. It's aqidah. Plus character and this and all of that. So there's a lot in it, and there are lessons. And what we're going to be trying to do as much as possible to extract lessons from these stories. And I want to tell you, inshallah, something which is also important. You may say to yourself, well, I know these stories. So why do you keep reading them in the Quran if you know them? Huh? Why do we keep reading in the Quran if we know them? The fact is that the more that you read, the more that you'll discover. And even if I extract, or you extract, for instance, 10 benefits from the story of Adam, that's not enough. Because if you'll come back later, you'll discover more. And if you visit it a third time, you'll find out even more. And if you keep reading and reading till we die, you'll keep finding more benefit in them. So there's no limit to those benefits. So if you've heard it or if you've read it once, it does not mean that you know everything that is in it. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, one of the reasons why Allah repeats it in the Quran is this. Why does Allah repeat the story of Musa? Because every time that you're reading it, you'll get something different. Why does He repeat the story of Adam? Well, I just read it there. Why should I read it again here? Because there is something different here than over there. Otherwise, Allah would not repeat it. It's not like us. Huh? We repeat because we, you know, run out of things to say. Allah Azza wa Jal, He repeats it because there's something extra in it. So you have to find what is that thing that Allah Azza wa Jal wants for you to do. How will we do this? Okay. So where do we get the stories of the prophets? Let me ask you. What are our sources? From the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is really enough. So we go based on the Quran. We go based on the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't need the weak ones. So I will base it on what is authentic. If I'm going to use anything that is weak, I'll let you know. I'll tell you this is weak, and then I'll mention it, but I will preface it by saying this is weak. And we also do not need stories coming from the people of the book. That is from the Bible. Now, why is it that we don't need them? Although at some points it may be permissible to use it, but why is it that we don't need them? Stories that come from the people of the book are of three types. One, things that the Quran confirms. Second, things that the Quran denies. Third, things that the Quran and Sunnah, you know, are quiet about. They don't talk about it. So if the Quran or the Sunnah confirm something, we don't need it to come to us from the people of the book, right? Because we already have it. If the Quran and Sunnah deny something, then we know it's false. Then we don't need it. If the Quran and Sunnah are quiet, يعني سكتوا عن شيء, quiet, and they do not talk about this particular thing, but the Bible does, Old Testament, New Testament, they talk about it. We don't have enough information to say whether this is right or it's wrong. We don't. It can give us some background, but we don't know if they've transferred that information to us, right or wrong, so it's not reliable. So if it's not reliable, it's not very beneficial. You understand me? If it's not reliable, it's not very beneficial. It can give some background information, but then you don't know. Did this actually happen? Happened this way? Happened with all of those details or not? And also, if Allah Azza wa Jal does not talk about something in the Quran and the Sunnah and focuses on something else, Allah excludes it for a reason. Allah does not talk about it for a reason. Right? So for instance, what's famous in Surah Al-Kahf, the people of the cave, how many are they? There is no confirmed number in the Quran. There is a hint. There is a hint. But there is no confirmed number. Okay. But I need to know the number. What difference would that make? Would it change the story at all? If they were 5, 4, 6, 7, it doesn't change it at all. So Allah does not talk about it to say, focus on what I want you to focus. All the rest is what? Distraction. What color were they wearing? What country were they in? Where is the cave? Distraction, distraction, distraction. Focus on what I want you to focus on. So a person who, you know, focuses on these trivial matters and misses what Allah wants is missing the entire point of the story. So Allah Azza wa Jal excludes for a reason and includes for a reason. So we're not going to focus on, you know, what Allah excludes. We want to focus on what Allah Azza wa Jal talks about in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So, and then the last thing, inshallah, that I want to say, and that's the principle, and then we're going to go in it. It's good to have the stories of the prophets, and then, you know, also to share stories, whether they come from the Sunnah or from the Sahaba or from the Tabi'een and so on and so on. But there is something interesting in Islamic history that early on, there was condemnation of storytelling. Al-Qussas wal-Qasas, condemnation of storytelling. Because early on in Islamic history, there had emerged this tendency for people to gather around a storyteller, and he starts telling stories. And these stories, a lot of times, they're not authentic, exaggerated, or fabricated. Right? So that's a problem with them. Another problem with storytelling is that if it becomes the dominant and the only thing that you're listening to and interested in, you're not going to learn a lot. Right? You're not going to learn a lot. So we cannot have our halaqas, yani all of them. This is stories, but they are from the Quran. But not all of our halaqas and all our khutbas and all the lectures that you listen to and the only thing that you read are stories. It can be. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Inna bani Israel lamma halaku qassu." He says, "Banu Israel, when they deviated, lamma dallu in another riwayah, when they deviated, they started to tell stories." That's what it is. They would sit and tell stories, and they're entertaining, and they're fun, and everybody is listening. But where is aqidah, and where is halal and haram, and where is fiqh, and where is all of this? They stopped learning that. So stories are great, but they cannot be the focus. Like if all of your jum'ahs are stories, the khutbas, that's a problem. If all the thing that you're listening to when you go online, this lecture, that lecture, you're only interested in stories and you don't want to learn anything else, that's an issue. So stories are attractive, but you have to make sure two things. One, they're authentic, not just interesting. They're authentic. And second of all, they're not your only source of information. You also balance that as well. Now, so let's go on and then start bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Do you know how many messengers and prophets we have? I mean, I'm not talking about those that are mentioned in the Quran in general. How many rusul? Okay, good, yeah. No, not five, it's a lot more. Messengers, so rusul, 300, I'll tell you. So the rusul of Allah Azza wa Jal, 313. Rusul, okay, messengers, 313. And the prophets of Allah, 124,000. Okay? So the prophets of Allah are 124,000. The messengers of Allah are 313. Okay, 313. Which now begs the question, what is the difference between a messenger and a prophet? A messenger and a prophet. The scholars of Islam, you know, debate this a little bit or disagree about this a little bit. You know, what exactly are the differences? So each messenger is a prophet. So the base, the big base, 124,000, and that is a lot of prophets. Huh? So as because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. Every nation we have sent them a nadir, someone to warn them. Meaning every nation received what? A prophet. Every nation received a prophet, at least one prophet, if not more. So the base, that big base, is 124,000. These are prophets. From those prophets, 313 are messengers. Okay? So messengers is a prophet plus. Huh? Prophet plus. Meaning, what do I mean by plus? He's a prophet, but he's giving something extra. What is this extra that he is given? So some ulama say that he's given a book. He has a book. Right? Like the Quran, like the Injil, like the Torah. Other ulama have said that he is charged by going to a people who will oppose him. So he's not going to a friendly crowd. He's going to a hostile crowd. And some say he has a sharia with him, a new law. So a book, a new law with him, and he's going to a people and those people are going to fight him. They're going to oppose him. So a prophet could be sent to a people who are friendly. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna bani Israel kanat tasusuhum al-anbiya." The children of Israel were being led by prophets. Kullama halaka nabi ba'ath Allahu nabiyya. Whenever a prophet would die, Allah will send another prophet. So during a time, during their period, Banu Israel, their leaders were what? Prophets. The actual political leadership were prophets, like Dawood and Sulaiman. So he says, when a prophet would die, Allah will send another prophet. So these were not hostile to them. But a messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, as the ulama have said, yeah, they will be hostile to him. So of course, most of these are not mentioned in the Quran. We don't know most of the prophets of Allah, and we do not know most of the messengers of Allah, but some are mentioned. And these are the ones that we'll be talking about, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal, some more than others. So we'll begin, bi-idhnillah, with the creation of this world itself. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له اكتب, says the first thing that Allah created was the pen, and he told him write, or he told it write. So the pen asked, what shall I write? And Allah told him, write what is going to transpire and happen till the day of judgment. أول ما خلق الله القلم. So is the qalam the first of Allah's creation, or is there something before it? Again, the scholars of Islam, they say, yeah, it is the first. Others say, no, it is not the first. In fact, what came before it is the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, and in fact could be other creations. But when the Prophet ﷺ says the first that Allah created was the pen, he means first that he created in relation to this world. So in connection to this world, the first that Allah created was the pen. But there were other creations before. One of them is the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? So subhanAllah, we don't know the limit of Allah's creation and the magnitude of Allah's creation. And I want to share with you here one hadith that is authentic, just to let you know. The Prophet ﷺ says, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ مَلَكٍ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ. He says, I was permitted to speak about an angel from the angels who are carrying the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. مَسِيرَةُ مَا بَيْنَ أُذُنِهِ إِلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ 700 سَنَةً. The distance from his earlobe to his shoulder is 700 years. The flight of a bird. Okay? The distance from his earlobe to his shoulder, right, is 700 years. That it takes 700 years to travel that distance. And he says in one hadith, you know, in the continuation of it, the flight of a bird. Okay? Now, it's hard to imagine this, right? It's hard to imagine this. So I did a calculation, and you need to go back and check my calculation, because I don't promise you that this is 100% accurate. It's math after all. So, I mean, you go ahead and check it. So, the slowest bird travels 8 kilometers per hour. So, if you multiply 8 kilometers by 24 hours, by 355, because I'm doing a Hijri year, by 700 years, you get 68,000 kilometers. طيب. You get 68,000 kilometers. Okay? I'm sorry? How mature, we said? How many years? Well, we're imagining he's traveling 700 years, right? Continuous. So that's the distance. And he's going to be, travel 68,000 kilometers. Okay? So the diameter of the earth, right, top to bottom, diameter of the earth is 12,700 kilometers. Okay? So 12,700. So if you divide 68 by 12, it means that you can fit 5 earths from his earlobe to his shoulder. Right? 5. And if you take one earth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From his earlobe to his shoulder. Now check it. Check it. And what I did is that I've used the slowest bird. The slowest, that's not the fastest. This is 8 kilometers per hour. A faster or one of the fastest birds goes 100 kilometers per hour or 150 kilometers. So I didn't go the fastest because that would be, I don't know. Okay, I just went with the slowest one. So this is the magnitude of Allah's creation, right? And Allah, he says, I was given permission to speak about this angel. Subhanallah, right? So this is just the distance from here to there. You can imagine the rest of his body. And if you remember previously when we said that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Jibreel in his real image, he saw him twice, he saw Jibreel in his real image, and one when he looked up and he said, قَدْ سَدَّ الْأُفُقِ, he had blocked the horizon. Huh? You could imagine, because Jibreel alayhi salam is the greatest angel. So he blocked the horizon, meaning as I told you before, you look and you'll see him everywhere. Huh? Right. So Allah Azza wa Jal, right, created first the pen, in relation to this dunya. And creation starts on Sunday. And it goes all the way to Friday. And that's why, you know, subhanAllah, why Sunday is called what in Arabic? Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad is what? First. Ahad is the first. Al-Ithnain is the second. Thulatha is the third, and so on. So creation begins on Sunday and goes all the way till Friday. And it is on Friday that Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam. And one of the virtues of Friday is that Adam alayhi salam was created in Friday, on Friday. And Adam alayhi salam entered Jannah Friday, exited Jannah on Friday. And the day of judgment is going to happen on Friday. So it's a very special day. And in relation to Adam alayhi salam, his creation was on a Friday. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said he was created on Friday in that extra special time on Friday, which is after Asr, in the last hour before the night. And that's an honorable time, by the way. Why is it an honorable time? Yeah, that's the accepted dua, right? That's the time when the dua is accepted. So it's an honorable time. So Adam alayhi salam was created at that time. And Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, right? Created Adam from a fistful from this earth. That is, he says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah created Adam from a qabda, qabadaha min jami' al-ard, a fistful or a handful that Allah grabbed from this entire earth, from different types of sands. Different colors and different types. من الأسود والأحمر, from black and red. من السهل من الحزن, from rough sand, from soft sand. And that explains, as the Prophet ﷺ says, the diversity of his progeny. The difference in color and in difference in character and temperament. Because we have been created from what? From this earth. Adam was created from sand. And then sand was mixed with water and it became mud. And it was left, you know, to harden. And then Allah Azza wa Jal put a soul in it, ruh in it. So it came from this earth. And even chemically, right, we are coming from this earth. So the Prophet ﷺ says, what explains this diversity, and that is something that only Allah can tell us about, what explains this diversity is that as you see diversity in this sand, in the type of sand, how rough some of it is, how soft some of it is, and different colors, he says, because Adam was created from all of it. From all of it. And so the children of Adam reflect the diversity of that creation matter. Right? And one of the honor that Allah Azul gave, has given to Adam specifically is that he had created him with his two hands. Because Allah Azul tells Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ What has stopped you from prostrating to what I've created with my two hands? So we affirm to Allah Azza wa Jal that attribute, but we say that Allah's hands do not resemble human hands or any other hands. We say that. That's Allah says it. We're not going to deny it, but they're not human hands. And we never imagine that they are human hands. But we affirm to Allah what He has said about Himself and what His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said about Him. And interestingly, when Allah Azza wa Jal was fashioning Adam, and the soul was not in him yet. Huh? You know, so that mud is drying. فَجَعَلَ إِبْلِيسُ يَطِيفُ بِهِ So Iblis, he's noticing what's happening. And he's developing now those feelings of hasad, envy. So he started to circle him. Adam is not alive yet, started to circle him. فَلَمَّا رَأَهُ أَجْوَفُ When he saw that he was hollow on the inside, empty. We're hollow, right? He's hollow on the inside. فَعَرِفَ أَنَّهُ خُلِقَ خَلْقًا لَا يَتَمَالَكُ وَقَالَ ظَفَرْتُ بِهِ He says he knew that he was unable to fully restrain himself. He said, I got him. You understand? That is, it's not a strong creation. And he knew. SubhanAllah. He's smart. He knew. It's still the beginning of this creation, and there is no soul in Adam yet. But he said he noticed that this type of creation is not solid on the inside. And because it's not solid, there is weakness in it. And it's true, Allah had created us with weakness. And there's a reason why Allah had created us with weakness. Because we have to be tested. We have to be tested. And we have to repent, and we have to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he was circling, and he's like, it's like a scout. He was circling. He said, what is he? What is he? How strong? How do I relate to him? Do I oppose him? And then when he saw that he was weak like that, and that he could have power over him, he said, I got him. Dhafartu bihi. I got him. Right? So this tells you, subhanAllah, that Allah Azza wa Jal did embed that in us. But as I said, there is a wisdom in it. طيب. When Allah Azza wa Jal tells the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً I'm going to put a khalifa, a successor, on the face of this earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ So the angels asked, are you going to put on it the one who will put corruption, spread corruption on this earth, and will shed blood, and we are glorifying you and praising you and worshipping you? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ He says, I know what you do not know. That's a very famous story that you read in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, first of all, the angels, were they objecting to Allah's decision? No. Because the angels know better than to do that. Know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-wise, and that whatever He does, there is wisdom in it. Why were they asking? First of all, they did not begin the question. They did not... Allah tells them, I'm going to do this. So as if Allah Azza wa Jal wants to hear from them. And only then do they talk. So they're not objecting to Allah Azza wa Jal. So why do they ask? They ask for the wisdom. They don't know what the wisdom is. Because to them, when I look at it, it doesn't make sense. And there's a great lesson in that. To them, when they look at it, I know that you are all wise and all merciful, and this creation does not make sense. If they are going to kill so many, and if they're going to do so many bad things, it doesn't make sense why you would create them. So what does Allah say? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ I know what you do not know. And there is here, you know, lesson in that for all of us. If the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who had seen things that are beyond anything that we have ever seen and maybe will ever see, Allahu A'lam, and they are so close to Allah Azza wa Jalla that they are talking directly to Him, and yet Allah can do something that escapes their wisdom, isn't that the case for us as well? You know how knowledgeable and wise the angels are, and they're right at the top, right there, and they can see everything. And they've been living for so long. And yet Allah could do something, and that thing is wisdom. There's wisdom in it, but it just escapes them. They cannot see it. You follow me? They cannot see it until Allah tells them. Isn't that the same with us as well? You see something, you say, why would Allah command this? Wallahi, I don't understand. I don't understand why Allah commands that. How could Allah do this? How could Allah allow that? I don't understand. In that position, you'll be like the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. But do not object. Don't object. There's a difference. Don't object. Try to ask a question like theirs to try to find out the wisdom in what Allah has done. And then Allah will teach you. Because these are two different attitudes. There's an attitude of objection and rejection and opposition. That person never learns. You never learn because you've opposed Allah Azza wa Jal. As if you're saying, Allah, you don't know, I know better. You'll never learn. Because Allah is not going to teach you. You're not willing to learn. You haven't opened up your mind for it. But if you say, Ya Allah, even if I don't know what it is, I believe that there's wisdom behind it, teach me. And subhanAllah, this is what the scholars, you know, some of the scholars of Islam just recently have said it. He says, if a person only just humbles himself and submits to Allah Azza wa Jal and asks Him to teach him, He will teach him. He will find the wisdom of that thing. If he only does that. So the angels of Allah didn't know. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. And then you know the rest of the story. Allah Azza wa Jal goes and teaches Adam alayhi salam the names of all of these things. And he brings them and he says, tell me the names of these things. They say, we do not know except what you teach us. So he says, oh Adam, tell them these names. And he tells them all these names. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal either wanted to show them the virtue of Adam and what he's able to do beyond what they can do, or that, don't you know that I know what you do not know, and you don't even know the names of these simple things in front of you. How would you know the future? How would you know what they're capable of? So yes, humanity produces a lot of corruption. But why does Allah allow all that corruption? What is going to come out of that humanity? I'm sorry? Goodness. And what is this goodness? In the body of whom? Or in the form of whom? The prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. The prophets of Allah. So all the prophets of Allah are extracted. It's like these are like jewels being extracted from humanity. And all the righteous are jewels being extracted from humanity. And they had to go through that corruption and to oppose it. Some of them are killed, some of them are tortured, some of them, subhanAllah, spend life in agony, but they fight and they win, and then they become great as Allah Azza wa Jal wants them. So that's the greatness that Allah wanted from humanity. Yes, there is corruption, but from them I will extract someone like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It does not happen and cannot happen without that corruption, without that bloodshed, without a prophet standing up and saying, I'll sacrifice my life for Allah Azza wa Jal. How could you sacrifice your life if there is no opposition, if there is no corruption? So it had to exist. So we're saying that Allah's wisdom, subhanAllah, is beyond anything that we understand. So remember that story. Whenever you're going to doubt something that Allah has said, something that Allah has done, remember that story. Now, something that we didn't mention about Adam's creation. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خلق الله آدم على صورته وطوله ستون ذراعا. He said, Allah created Adam in His own image, and his height is 60 cubits. So the first part of the hadith, Allah created Adam in His own image, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam in His original image, meaning the image of Adam alayhi salam, meaning that Adam was not created a child and then became a teenager and then an adult. No. The image when Adam was created, that was the image of Adam alayhi salam. So he did not progress in age from childhood to adulthood. Second, the image of Adam inside Jannah was the same image of him outside of Jannah. And the image that his children inherit is the same image of Adam, alayhi salam, meaning the eyes, the nose. This is how he looked, more or less, right? This is how Adam, alayhi salam, looked. And that's why, also, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is one fiqh benefit, he said that hitting the face is forbidden. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Because Allah created this person in the image of Adam. Meaning you and your brother and your sister and your mother and your father, the face is prohibited for you to strike for any reason. Why? It's an honorable face. And why is it honorable? One of the reasons is that Allah created Adam in that image, and you are created in the image of Adam. طيب. وطوله, and his height is 60 cubits. Now a cubit is an ancient, you know, or an old method of measuring things. This is a cubit from your elbow to your fingers. That's 60. Okay, so I did, let me see if I did my calculations here. Okay, that's 90 feet. Or 27 meters. So he was big. Okay? Now how tall was he? Again, it's hard to visualize, right? So the closest I could figure, because you go online, you say, what is 90 feet? Okay. So you know the Statue of Liberty? Yeah. You know the Statue of Liberty? Oh, yeah, up to here. Yeah, the Statue of Liberty. Right? So that's how high or tall Adam was. قال فلم يزل الخلق يتناقص حتى الآن. And after Adam عليه السلام, creation, or the creation, the Prophet عليه السلام, he says, the height of humanity continued to decrease after Adam. But Adam was that high. And if a person, if a people who will enter Jannah, will enter Jannah, may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of the people who enter Jannah, that high. Okay? They will be that high. طيب. So, is that interesting? Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Okay. Now, and of course, Hawa, Eve was created from what? From the rib, from Adam's rib. Right? And that's why also there is benefit in that, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ حَوَاءَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلْعَ وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الضِّلْعِ أَعْلَى. It says, Hawa, or Eve, was created from Adam's rib. And the rib is bent. Huh? So the Prophet ﷺ is telling you there that, yes, Hawa or Eve or females, though they are created from males, they're not exactly the same. There's difference. قَالَ فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا. If you want to straighten that rib, what are you going to do to it? You're going to break it. وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجْ. But if you leave it, it will be continue to be bent, crooked. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling you that they are not of the same nature as you. So you cannot expect her to be exactly like you. Huh? And some, for instance, you know, I mean, not stereotyping or anything, for instance. You know, suppose that you're very punctual, very fact-oriented. Huh? You want your wife to be exactly like that? You're going to break her if you do this. Huh? That's not the case. Allah did not create her like that. Because you are also not able to do the things that she can do. And some of the ulama have said, subhanAllah, that bent rib, what it does is that it protects. What does it do to the vital organs? It protects. Huh? So the female does that. She has that instinct to protect children, protect family, protect the house. And sometimes the extra dose of emotions that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given her is to serve that purpose. So if you want her to be emotionless, she's not going to be a female. Right, so yes, as the male you're supposed to direct, and as the male you're supposed to instruct and guide, and all of this. But understand that if you take it too far, you break her. Huh? And وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا. I mean, and if you're gonna break her, meaning you're gonna divorce her, or she'll divorce you. Huh? So you have to learn how to live with her, right? In a way, subhanAllah, that maintain her special features, and at the same time, she's obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's not straying, she's not doing something that upsets Allah Azza wa Jal. So this, the beginning of creation, tells you a lot about what comes later. Because the nature of Adam is like the nature of his children. The nature of Hawa is like the nature of her daughters. Similarly, for instance, you know, once Adam alayhi salam was looking at Allah Azza wa Jal showed him all of his progeny, all of his children. So he was looking at them. قال فرأى الغني والفقير والمريض والصحيح. قال he saw the rich and the poor and the sick and the healthy. فقال يا ربي ألا سويت بينهم. He says, Ya Allah, won't you make them all equal? He says, إني أحب أن أشكر. He says, I love to be thanked. You understand? If everybody is the same, you're not going to see a difference. You're not going to feel the ni'mah. But if you're sometimes sick and sometimes healthy, you'll understand what being healthy means. If you're sometimes rich and sometimes poor, you'll understand. Or in comparison with other people. قَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أُشْكَرُ. He says, I love to be thanked. Then he saw one among them, and his face was lit with, you know, was lit. He says, who is this? He says, this is Dawood, one of your children, Dawood alayhi salam. He says, how long does he live? He says, 60 years. He said, give him 40 from my life. So when it came time for Adam to die, right, and the angels came, they say, it's time for you to die. He says, no, I have 40 years left. I have 40 years left. قَالَ فَجَحَدَ آدَمُ وَجَحَدَ الدُّرِّيَّةُ وَنَسِيَ آدَمُ وَنَسِيَ الدُّرِّيَّةُ. He says, Adam denied, and so his progeny also denied. And Adam forgot, and his progeny also forgot. Meaning, as Adam was, so is his children. How he behaved, so are his children. So he forgot, and we also forget. We forget. So you make promises, and you forget. You say, this is yours, and you forget. He forgot. And he denied it, and we also deny. Right? So the way that he is, alayhi salam, is also the way we are. So understanding that the beginning of creation and what happened in it is also significant for us today. Okay. So Allah Azza wa Jal puts Adam, you know, in Jannah, or when he creates Adam, and he asks the angels to do what? To prostrate. To go and make sujood to Adam. And with the angels is Iblis. And is Iblis an angel? No. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. Iblis is from the jinn. But he's worshipping with the angels. So, they all prostrate. Okay. And by the way, prostration then, right, of course, this is Allah's command. It's permitted. And that, it was an obligation for them to do it. In Islam, you're not allowed to prostrate to anyone except to Allah Azza wa Jal. So prostration before Islam was a form of greeting. Do you remember where that, in what story that happened? Stories of the prophets? Were they prostrated? Yusuf. Right? Yusuf. So Yaqub, his father, and his children, who are Yusuf's brothers, they prostrate to Yusuf alayhi salam. That's a form of greeting. In Islam, that's not allowed. Why isn't it allowed in Islam? What do you think? It's an act of worship. I mean, but it could be a greeting if Allah says, yeah. It's possible that it was not an act of worship before and only a form of greeting. It's possible. It's possible. But we say that this is the final. Yeah, go ahead. It is? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And what I wanted to say, of course, is this is the last Sharia. There's no other prophet. And it has taken the strictest precautions to protect Tawheed. Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. The strongest precaution to protect the Tawheed of Allah and His worship are in the Sharia of Islam. There is no other prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why if there is a possibility of something that could be transformed into a worship of someone else, stops. So this prostration, because it could lead to somebody thinking, I can start worshiping this person, it stops and we say you don't greet him by prostration. And you leave this to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he asked them to worship, to prostrate, and they all prostrate except Iblis. Why does he not prostrate? Yeah. Jealousy. What does he say? Huh? Ana khayrun, I am better than he. You created me from fire and you created him from mud. Yeah. Want to say something? Oh, okay. So you created me from fire and you created him from mud. And you see here, one of the first sins, and you have to remember this, one of the first sins, because this is a killer. And that sin is jealousy and envy. It had pushed someone like Iblis, who was communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he knows the full might of Allah and what he can do to him, to sacrifice all of this and sacrifice Jannah and eternal happiness, just so that he does not prostrate to him. And consider how stupid that was. But so, if you're envious and jealous of someone or something, this is how stupid you become. That a person could lose his dunya and akhirah because of it. And he did something incredibly stupid. He opposed Allah Azza wa Jal's command with his own mind. That's why they say, أَوَّلُ مَنْ قَاسَ إِبْلِيسِ. The first one to use corrupt analogy is Iblis. Because he stood up against Allah Azza wa Jal and he told him, yes, you're telling me to prostrate, which means that he's better than I am, but think about it. You created me from this and you created him from that, which means that you're wrong. You understand what he's saying? I am better than he is. How could you ask me to do this? He's mud on fire. So your command cannot be right. And that is qiyas fi muqabalati nas, as they say. This is you're using analogy to oppose Allah's direct command. And that's a problem that even humanity does till today. Allah says something in the Quran, you oppose it with your mind. Using analogy, I think it's right, I think it's wrong. Or if the Prophet ﷺ says something, you oppose it with your mind. That's exactly what Iblis did. You know, that's not right. And then subhanAllah, you know, the scholars of Islam, like someone like Ibn al-Qayyim and others, they say, and he's wrong in thinking that fire is better than mud. And they go on listing the virtue of mud over fire. Mud can give you this and this and this and this. Fire, on the other hand, has these shortcomings and these flaws in it. So he says, no, you're not better. You were wrong even in that analogy. You were wrong in it. But subhanAllah, if that person had actually believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and it was not arrogant, he would follow what Allah Azza wa Jal wanted. And that is the importance of submission and believing Allah Azza wa Jal. So we know the story. We know Iblis refuses and Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, why don't you? And he says, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to prostrate to him. So Allah casts him out of Jannah. أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. You are accursed. You're cursed. You're not going to be in it. Does he stop there? What does he want? He wants to bring him down. Okay? Okay, fine. You got me out of Jannah, but you're not going to stay in it. So he wants to take him down. Bring him down to earth with him. Make him suffer like he had suffered. Take him to Jahannam like he's going to Jahannam. And subhanAllah, this is a story that comes from the people of the book. I just remembered it. It comes from the Gospel of Barnabas. And again, this is, it may be just nonsense, but it just, there's some benefit in it. It says that Isa alayhi salam wanted to mediate, right? It could be just a story, right? Wanted to mediate and wanted to reconcile, bring Iblis back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he went to Allah. He's talking to Allah Azza wa Jal. He's saying, would you forgive him? Would you forgive him? He says, if he comes and apologizes, that is Iblis, if he comes and apologizes, I'll forgive him. Makes sense. Makes sense, right? So he goes to Iblis and he says, can you go back to Allah Azza wa Jal? He says, if he comes and apologizes, I'll do it. Right? And it could be nonsense, it could be just a story, but it tells you about his arrogance. And that his arrogance stays with him throughout until he enters Jahannam. right? And it all comes back from to jealousy. So of course he wants to bring him down, and I don't want, inshallah, I'll stop in about 5 minutes. He wants to bring him down. So he goes and he whispers to Adam and Hawa, right? And how he does this, no reason for us to speculate or think about it. If it's something that is troubling you, let me know, and I'll talk about it. But it's not really important. Does he enter Jannah? Does he not enter Jannah? Does he stand outside? It doesn't really matter. That whisper, he speaks to Adam alayhi salam, and he promises them, swears by Allah Azza wa Jal that he is giving them sincere advice. He tells them, shall I not tell you about something that you can do that will give you eternal life? Shajaratul khuld wa mulkin la yabla. That you will live forever. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, in all of Jannah, he says, eat from whatever you want. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ. Do not come close to this tree. This was Adam's test. This is all of Jannah. This is all of Jannah. But do not come to this tree. Just do not eat from this tree. Everything else. But don't eat from this tree. Of course, knowing humanity, and Adam is human, knowing humanity, when you tell somebody, don't eat from that tree, what happens? That's the only tree I want to eat from. I don't want to eat that tree. I don't want to eat anything else. I just want to eat from that tree. I want to just go there. Right? Right? Because, you know, there's another hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, you know, I shared that with you before, I think. He said, I'm afraid that if I tell you to stay away from a spot like the hoof of a camel, and that's the only spot, all of you will be fighting to be in that spot. Right? It's just don't be here. So all of us just want to sit here. So don't eat from that tree. No, he tells them, if you eat it, you will have eternal life and power that will never diminish. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا. And he swore to them, and he continued to do this, and Allah allowed it because this is destiny. This is what Allah wanted. Because he had told people, he's